as we consider the office of the pastor, and if you remember last week, I talked about how there are some things in our lives that we need to recognize as being precious. And we talked about how Jesus Christ is precious. We talked about how his blood is precious. And we talked about how the blood that was shed, he purchased the church for it. He gave his life for it. And when somebody gives something that's precious to them, it really shows how precious that object or that person is. And so when Christ shed his blood, his precious blood, I believe the church is something that is precious. And also we looked at the trying of our faith is precious. And God has given us the local church to be able to equip us and train us to be able to live and walk in this world, a world that is walking in sin, but we have the ability to live a life pure and holy by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been given a pastor that God has placed. And last week we looked at the calling of the pastor and how that pastor is appointed by God. And we looked at some words about the role of the pastor and the different kind of the jobs of the pastor. And as we think about where God has placed and why God has placed a pastor into the church, as we understand the church is precious and we realize the importance of the church, that we as Christians would learn to yield to God's teaching and God's word as it is brought and preached from this pulpit within this church. As we continue, I want to look. So last week, number one, we looked at the calling of the pastor. Number two tonight, I just want to kind of briefly look at this point at the institutions that God has established. So the institutions established by God. We would teach that God has established three institutions within our society. The first institution, and I would say the most important institution, is the institution of the home. The home, I believe, was established in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, God brought them together, and then he blessed them with children. And the family grew, and obviously Adam lived, I think, to about 930 years old. So he had a lot of children, as the Bible just says, sons and daughters. It doesn't give a specific amount of children that he had, but obviously Adam most likely had a good-sized family, and the home started there. God established that home, and we understand that one man and one woman is how God created the home, and that's how God intends it to stay. Regardless of what our society is teaching today, this is what God has ordained. And so we think of the first institution of the home. The second one would be the government, I believe also established within the book of Genesis. And you see very early on, unfortunately, when the sin of mankind came into the world, and how sin had to be dealt with, sin had to be addressed. And government was never necessarily out to protect the people, as we often see today. Government really was to punish the evildoers, to deal with the wrong in the world, and we find that even in the New Testament as well. And obviously the first king that Israel was given was not necessarily what Samuel, the prophet, wanted in King Saul, but God had chosen Saul to be the king. That was not the first government, but that would have been the first king for the people of Israel. So the home, the government, and then we see in the New Testament the local church was established. And I'm thankful for these three institutions. And might I say that the home is the most important and ultimately should be training leaders to fill positions in both of the other institutions. So in the home, as parents, you're raising your children, you're raising your sons, your daughters, to lead in these other two institutions of the local church and of the government. I don't believe for a moment that Christians should avoid government positions. I think there should be Christians that are standing in places like Ottawa and here locally in our provincial government. We need young people, we need adults that will be standing for truth in these positions. And so we need to be training leaders within the church and for within the government. The church is a vital influence on the home and the government. We ought to pray for our government leaders. We ought to pray for them by name. If they're not saved, that they would come to salvation. You know what? If we know of health needs that they have, we ought to pray for those things. If if, you know, we need to pray for God to give them wisdom. You say, well, if they're not saved, can God give them wisdom? I believe He can. He can give them wisdom beyond what they understand. He can lead them to do things. As the Bible says, the king's heart is in their hand. So we ought to be praying for our government. Our church ought to be a vital influence on both the home and the government. Do you understand that Satan fights all three of these institutions? Satan fights, obviously, in the home. Satan fights against the government and, sadly, through the government. And Satan obviously fights against the church. Ultimately, Satan wants to lead you and I to failure, to destruction, because he knows that's what's ahead for him. And so within these three institutions, these are God-established. God can work through all three of these if we will allow him to work through them. We also see, though, that a wrong relationship within the three institutions will undermine the integrity or the foundation of the institutions within our lives. So if I, in my home, begin to talk bad about the local church, or if I talk bad about the government, I am undermining the foundation, I am undermining the integrity of that institution within the heart of my children, within the heart of those that are listening. I need to make sure that my relationship is as right as it possibly can be with all three institutions that God has established. I can't remember if I prayed to start, so I'm going to pray. Normally, I pray when I give my introduction, but I kind of gave that last week. So let's pray, and then we'll continue through this message. Lord, again, we thank you for this night that we have. I pray that this message will be a help in some way, this Bible study that we have. We challenge us to honor what you lead us to see the importance of honoring tonight in the local church. Help us to love you with our heart, soul, and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So a wrong relationship within these three institutions will undermine the integrity or the foundation of the institution within our lives. Our speech must always be honoring and edifying. We won't look at it, but Ephesians 4, 25 down through verse 32, really it talks a lot about the way that we use our tongue. And in verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Dealing with relationships both in the home, within the government, and within the church. So our speech needs to be right. Also, our actions toward one another must be that of love and respect. We're not necessarily looking for self-love. We are looking for the love that we are showing towards others, the agape love. Excuse me, one that gives of self and not with the expectation of something in return. So our actions toward one another, again, in all three institutions need to be right. I'm not going to, you know, bash the government tonight, but how often, if you were to watch some things, you know, in Parliament Hill or in the U.S. Government, when people battle it out, if we could just learn the ability of a soft answer, of a kind gesture, of showing love to one another, what a difference it would make. And sometimes politicians will not speak the way that we want them to speak put into law the things that we want. But you know what? We still need to respect the position that God has placed them in and understand that they are placed there by the Lord for whatever reason He has. We're trusting in that. But we need to make sure that our relationship is right, that our speech is right. Don't badmouth the pastor and don't badmouth the prime minister. Use respect. And so we need to make sure that the integrity of these institutions are honored within our church, within our home, and within the government. Also tonight, the church must hold a prominent position within our home as we talk about these three institutions. This involves honoring the pastor in public and private. Yielding ourselves underneath God's umbrella of the church recognizes God's calling of the pastor and ordaining of the church to accomplish God's work in our lives. As we talked about the calling of the pastor last week, what I was trying to emphasize was that it's God that has placed the pastor within this church for His specific reason. And as you choose to place yourself within this church, you choose to submit to the leadership that God has ordained. We must always remember that He has been appointed to that position. And so when we choose to be a part of a church, we place ourselves under that umbrella that God has given to us, where He has ordained a spiritual leader to watch over us and to to guide us in the work that God wants within our life. But also, we must love the church as Christ has, knowing his purpose in establishing it and dying for it. Turn, if you would, please, to Ephesians. I know I said Hebrews, and we're going to get there in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 25. Ephesians 5, verse number 25. Apostle Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Sadly, some possibly watching online or some in this room tonight, you would say, if I love the church like I love my wife, it would be a pretty sad situation. I hope that's not the case. I hope that you love the church or you love your wife as much as you love the church. But you know what? The true picture that God ordained within marriage was representing his love for the church. And remember, we need to love the things that God loves. And we ought to despise the things that God despises. Christ loved the church that he gave himself for it. What was the purpose? Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Christ gave himself for the church that the church could be cleansed. The Bible says that we are cleansed by we are sanctified by the washing of God's word. So here we have the local church that God says is precious, that Christ gave his blood for, that we ought to love as we love our spouse. We ought to love as God wants us to love our spouse. We see that the position or the reason that he did this was that we might have this church to be able to lead us in a life of being sanctified, of being cleansed. Why does Pastor preach from the Word of God? Because the Word of God is what cleanses our lives. Yes, it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but it is God's Word that cleanses out what is wrong within our lives. And we think about 2 Timothy 3:16 that tells us that all of Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so, thankfully, God brings the preaching of his word into the local church in order for us to be able to live a life that is sanctified within a world that really has glorified sin. So I'm thankful that we have the message of the word of God. And so we see here as well in this passage that he might present, verse 27, present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We see here that God wants within the church to be able to present it to himself in a way that is gorgeous, in a way that is not defiled or with stain, or in a way that is not wrinkled. Or the idea here is that of as old age begins to set in and our skin begins to wrinkle a little bit, and maybe your husband is not as good looking as he used to be. And it's good thing some of them are wearing masks, and you can't, I'm just kidding. We understand that age does a lot to us. And so the idea here is that God would be able to present his church as a precious, gorgeous, beautiful bride unto himself. And may I remind you that sin takes that ability away. Sin mars that bride. Sin hinders that presentation of beauty. And that's why God has given us the local church to be able to be that pillar and ground of the truth, to be able to preach the Word of God so that we could be cleansed, that we could be sanctified, that we could be washed by His Word. And so knowing this that we've talked about will cause us to seek to have a right relationship with our church family and especially with our pastor as appointed by God. Thirdly and lastly, as we look through in the rest of this message tonight, my responsibility to the pastor. My responsibility on the behalf or for the pastor, might we say. Let's go back now to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews 13, yes. It's the very last chapter in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and verse number 7. Looking at my responsibility to the pastor. Verse number 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now back in Ephesians, we looked at the purpose of the church was that we might be sanctified by the washing of the word. Here we find in Hebrews 13:7, those that have the rule or the guiding, the guidance over you and I, that have spoken the word of God, that which cleanses me, that which washes me, the word of God, I am to follow, I am to remember them. So first of all, tonight, we are to remember our pastor. You say, how could I forget my pastor's name? I know who he is. But remembering our pastor goes beyond just remembering his name, remembering his telephone number, remembering where he lives. It has to do with recognizing or acknowledging his leadership. Again, the position of the pastor is God ordained. This is really a gift to the local church to have that spiritual leader, that under-shepherd that God has placed as the leader of the local church. Sadly, some may have bad memories of pastors and no longer have any confidence in the man of God. This is where Satan would want every church member to come to. Where I've got bad memories of pastors, so I'm just sitting at home doing my own thing. Look, if Jesus died for the local church, he shed his precious blood, he recognizes that the local church is precious. It is valuable. And for us to ignore the local church, for us not to have any part of involvement in the local church, we are bringing shame to even claiming the name of Christ, because Christ says the church is vital, the church is important, the church is precious, it is valuable. So even if in the past, if you've been hurt by a pastor, look, as the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath, and Ephesians 4 talks about it, let these things be put away, let these things be done away with, because you know, as the devil begins to plant seeds and continue those seeds, it brings a harvest, and it may not be in your own life, but it could be in your children's life. Sure. As the devil begins to drive a wedge, and we wonder why young people leave churches and why the next generation isn't following and continuing in the church, could it be that possibly there was a hurt, something that came up that maybe you talked about in front of your kids? Remember having a right relationship in front of our kids with those three institutions, recognizing the God-ordained position. Whether or not the man of God was in error, was at fault, we still have to make sure that our speech is honoring and respectful. Remember, King David would not talk bad about King Saul. He would not. He even was angry at himself for just taking a part of his garment, because he was the anointed. He was the man of God. And so we have to understand, look, I'm not setting up a defense for myself here tonight. I'm not setting up a defense necessarily for pastor tonight. This is a God-given authority, a God-given position. And we must recognize tonight that regardless of the memories of the past, if we've got bitterness towards a pastor in the past, let's deal with them and move forward and thank the Lord where God has placed you now, and yield yourself as God would teach us to the pastor that we have within this church. Past hurts cannot change my recognition that God appoints spiritual leaders and places them in my life for his eternal purpose. To present the word of truth to me so that my life could be sanctified, be washed by his word. Remember, God wants to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, not having a blemish, not having a wrinkle, not having the signs of age and the wear of sin. God says, I want to present myself with a glorious church. And one way that I do that is by the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so let's deal with the past hurts. Remember, recognize, acknowledge the leadership of the pastor. So remember him. Secondly, respond in obedience. Respond in obedience. Look with me at verse number 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. We'll stop there. Obey them that have the rule over you. I want you to look tonight at two different words in our New Testament that are translated as obey. As I looked at these, I found it kind of interesting, the application that we can make here. We might know the word obey from Ephesians 6:1. Let's turn there. Some of the children here tonight, or some watching online, you most likely know Ephesians 6:1. When your parents get a little unhappy with you, quite possibly they use Ephesians 6:1 as a warning, as a reminder. And here it is. Children, what's the word?
Obey.
Obey your parents in the Lord, or this is right. This is an important verse for children to learn. It's also an important verse for adults to learn. Amen. Obviously, we're children as well. You're always the children of your parents, but we are the children of God as a believer. And so we are to learn this act of obedience. But the idea of this word here, this word is hupakuo, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's the Greek word that it comes from, and it has to do with hearing under, to hear under or to heed or to conform to a command. It is translated as obey most every other time that it appears in the New Testament. So to hear under, to heed to conform to a command. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. This word obey is the word pitho, and which means to convince by argument. It's by analogy, to pacify or to conciliate, to bring really to one way of seeing things, to assent to evidence or authority, to have confidence, to persuade. Now there's a difference, children, in the word obey in Ephesians 6:1. Your parents do not need to persuade you to do something. They can, yes, there are ways. Yes, there are ways to persuade children, but that's not the word that's used there. The word is to submit underneath in Ephesians 6:1, to hear under, to heed, to conform to a command. I've told you to do something, and because I'm your father, I'm your mother, you have the responsibility to do it. But here we come to a different word, that we are to obey those that rule over us, or those that that we learn that teach us the word of God. But it's by, in a sense, by giving a defense, here's the word of God, you and I coming to see it as well and saying, you know what, he's right, and yielding to it. So to convince by argument, to have confidence, to persuade. Let's look at one verse where we see this word used as persuade. Look with me at 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. You may know this verse or a good part of this verse. 2 Timothy 1:12. It says here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Now, this may be the part of the verse that you know well. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This is the same word that appears in Hebrews 13, 17 as the word obey. You understand what I'm saying is tonight, as the pastor preaches the word of God, as he presents the word of God accurately and truthfully, we recognize this is a God-ordained position. It's a God-appointed man to this office. And I believe God cares about me, that God loves me. He shed his precious blood for me. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose within the church to sanctify me through the washing of his word. Here it is. Paul said, "I am persuaded. I have chosen by reason of evidence. I can't do anything otherwise but believe, because God has proven this to me." He says, "I am persuaded that he is able to commit that which I have, or to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I believe it." And so what needs to happen is, it's not about you and I being forced to believe what is taught, but we recognize that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is truth. And as the pastor clearly and distinctively teaches the Word of God, we can't ignore it. We can't push it aside and say, that's not for me. We have to recognize that all of it is for us, and let God make the application, and we choose to obey because God convinces in your heart, this is truth, and what he is saying is accurate, and you need to make the application. That's what we call Holy Spirit conviction. And as we yield to that conviction, we live out in obedience to what the pastor is teaching. So remember him. Respond in obedience. Understand, this is not a blind obedience, but it is one that recognizes the office of the pastor and the authority of the Word of God. If the pastor preaches the Word of God accurately, and it comes up against my lifestyle or your lifestyle, my preference, your preference, my way of thinking, your way of thinking, and we choose not to respond, could it not be rebellion to the Holy Spirit of God? I believe that God has placed the pastor as an authority. He is ordained within the position of the pastor of this church. I've placed myself underneath his leadership, and I believe that God gives him messages to preach for the cleansing of my life. Unfortunately, as God's Spirit moves through the pastor and he's knocking on your heart's door and you ignore it, are we not walking in rebellion to what God's Spirit is doing within our hearts? What I'm trying to just keep reminding us tonight is the importance that this pulpit has often been referred to as the sacred desk. It's just wood. But you know what? There is great accountability for what is proclaimed from this pulpit. The pastor is responsible to give an account for what he was appointed by God to do. And so please understand, Pastor Turner does not take lightly preparation for a message. He seeks God, and it might just be that God has something just for you in that message. But if we fail to respond, we are living in disobedience to what God is bringing to us. So first of all, we are to remember him. Secondly, we are to respond in obedience. Thirdly, we are to submit to him. To submit to him. We see that in verse 17, Hebrews 13 again. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And there it is. And they that must give account, they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. To submit is to yield to or surrender. You see, this should be a natural response when we are walking in God's Spirit and God's Spirit pinpoints in our life one thing or multiple things in a message and say, that's for you. It may not be that the whole message was for you. There might be one thing that God says in your heart, that's what I want you to deal with tonight. That's what I want you to deal with this morning. You have an invitation time that you go forward, you get down, kneel in front of your seat, you sit down in your seat and you pray, you go home and you deal with it. Because God pinpointed to you. I'm talking to you. Oftentimes we think, man, this would be good for somebody else. This would be good for this person. If only my brother could hear this, my sister could hear this, my parents could hear this, this would be great. And God's saying, hey, if only you could hear it, what a difference it would make. And so we listen and we submit. We choose to surrender. It's a natural response when we are walking in God's Spirit and we hear that still small voice that speaks so distinctly within our lives when we're listening. He says, deal with it. Unfortunately, it's not a natural response when we're living in the flesh. Carnality says, you know what? He's talking about that. I'm out of this place. That's not the way to respond. Now, if he's preaching heresy, then you know what? You need to get out of this place. But if it's only heresy to you because you disagree with how he's approaching it, be careful. Make sure you consider what the Lord would have. And so we think about as God presents the truth to us through the preacher, obey, submit, to yield to. And then the next one is an interesting one, the word salute, to salute him. Say, what is this, an army or something? Like, you know, we're going to stand there as he walks by and salute, pastor? This is, you know, this is getting out of hand. No, that's not what it has to do with. He may be a commander within our church, but He's not expecting us to line up as soldiers when he walks by. This idea of the word salute, look with me in verse 24. Hebrews 13, verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. Again, that guiding influence. And all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. So salute all them that have the rule over you. The idea is to enfold in the arms, to welcome, to embrace. This is a different kind of salute. Do you know what? To give somebody a hug is not the kind of salute that you and I might think of. To enfold in the arms, to welcome, to embrace. This is something you would usually do for someone you are fond of. somebody that you love and or appreciate. It's not the first thing you would do for those you are angry with or displeased with. I don't want to talk to you, let alone give you a hug. Just keep your distance from me. I know things are a little different right now with COVID and all of that, but the idea is to have that tender embrace. This warns us of the danger of hard feelings toward the pastor. Listening to gossip about the pastor or his family, or just thinking all the time that I know better. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what? That message he's preaching doesn't apply to my situation. My situation's different. Because God's word, God didn't know about your situation when he put his word together. Of course he did. For the most part, the situations you and I have today are no different than the situations that people struggled with hundreds of years ago. Yes, technology has changed things, I understand that. But we're still the same people. Marred by sin, in a world of sin, living around people that are angry, that are hateful. You know what? We can trust this word, we can trust our God, and we can trust the pastor that God has given us. And so it warns us of the danger of hard feelings toward our pastor. You see, a child will embrace his mother when he knows she has food for him or something good for the child. Mommy! I love you, Mommy! But you know what? A child will seek to hide from his mom or his dad when, notice I said his, not hers, when they have been scolded or they need to be scolded or they know the parent will disagree with their actions. Kids, have you ever run from your parents? Maybe you tried to hide from your parents, but you knew when it was discipline time, you took off running. I remember one time putting books in the backside of my pants for self-defense. It was a little obvious when I walked out that there were books back there when Dad would use the paddle. And, of course, the books came out and the paddle as well. And so, thankfully, that Board of Education did a lot for the seat of learning, right? That's right. Yep. And so, you know what? When we're in trouble, we tend to hide from those. Or when we don't like the way that they're looking at things in our life. God may use the pastor to begin to open up some things in our lives that God's saying, I want you to deal with those. Say, Pastor, don't touch that. Don't touch that. God's saying, I want him to touch it. We cannot be presented as that bride that God wants to present us as with sin, with things that we've buried down deep in our lives. The church can't move forward with an Achan living in the background. You say, get rid of the Achan. No, Achan needs to get rid of the sin. Thankfully, God doesn't get rid of the Achans within our church unless that Achan chooses not to deal with the sin. So what we might have buried, God might use the pastor to bring to the surface. I'm not saying to expose in front of the church unless that's necessary, but to expose in front of your face so you and I will deal with it. Okay? So it warns us of the danger of hard feelings toward the pastor. Nextly, show love for your pastor. Show love for your pastor. Encourage your family to show affection and appreciation for your pastor within a proper context. And again, I go back to that idea of embracing within a proper context. Okay? I understand what a hug can mean in our culture here. It may not necessarily mean the same in other cultures. So within proper context, give gifts, notes, cards, emails, text messages, words of encouragement, etc. Things of this nature. Take time to just encourage your pastor. Let your pastor know that you're praying for him, that you kind of know what's going on, or maybe you have no clue what's going on, but God laid him on your heart, and so reach out to him. I know we have technology today, and so we avoid the handwritten notes, but sometimes those handwritten notes can mean far more than any email or something of that nature to deliver something and just drop it in a mailbox. Something of that nature would be a great encouragement. We all expect the pastor to encourage us. May I remind you that he is human as well. Don't forget that he's human also. And he would love to have encouragement from you. Please understand, I'm not preaching this because Pastor asked me to preach it. I'm doing this because I believe the Lord laid it on my heart to preach this. Okay? Let's make sure that we show love to our pastor. We show love to our pastor by responding to the God-given authority, not ignore it, by making the application of his counsel and his preaching. You know, one of the hard things for a pastor is when the pastor preaches over and over and over again, and he believes that God is leading him to preach in a certain direction, and it would appear as if nobody responds. I'm not saying that you get up in a physical way where he can see it, but you know what? Sometimes it's obvious when God, when people are just not responding to the message. So one of the greatest things that we can do to show our love for our pastor and recognizing the God-given authority that he has is to respond to that authority, not ignore it, make the application of the counsel. You meet with him, you talk with him about something, you get his advice and say, thanks, pastor, and then you do nothing with it. What was the point of seeing him? Could it not be that God led him to say something to you that you chose to ignore? And again, every person has a prerogative, but you've placed yourself underneath the umbrella of the Anchor Baptist Church and underneath the pastor that God has given to us. I want to encourage you to respond to that God-given authority. Okay, so we see, first of all, remember him. Nextly, respond in obedience. Nextly, submit to him. Nextly, salute him. We ought to have that good relationship with him to where we're not afraid to see pastor. We're not going to ignore him because we know there's something between us. Letter E, the next one is to pray for him. Pray for him. Verse number 18, Hebrews 13, it says, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. This is a request made by the Apostle Paul. Here is a spiritual leader saying, would you pray for us? This spiritual leader makes one request. He says, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for your pastor. The request here made by a spiritual leader, I think we are to remain tender and obedient towards the leading and the prompting of God's Spirit and praying for him and his family. If you're at work and God lays Pastor Turner on your heart and he says, I want you to pray for him right now, if you can safely take that time and pray for Pastor. You say, well, I don't know what needs he has. I don't know what he's going through. That's okay. If you are tender to the Spirit's leading, be obedient to it and say, I will pray for Pastor. God, I don't know why I'm praying for Pastor Turner, but for some reason you mentioned to me to pray for him. So I'm praying for him. That's all we can say. That's all we need to say. So praying for the pastor, remain tender, obedient towards the leading and prompting of God's Spirit and praying for him and his family. Be conscious and aware of his needs and his family's needs, even in the midst of our own needs. Pastor's expected to continue to serve others while maybe hurting in himself and having his own needs that need to be cared for. I'm going to read just three passages quickly as we close here. Romans 15, 30. You don't have to turn there. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Apostle Paul says, you're going to be working, laboring together with me in my ministry by praying for me. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, praying on my behalf as I go to preach the gospel, as I go to a world that is rejecting the truth. Look, it's a difficult task, but he says, would you pray for me? Ephesians 6:18, the conclusion of the armor of God, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There is great significance to that phrase, in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is far different than praying down a daily list of prayer requests. Praying in the Spirit is as God prompts you to pray for someone or something. You are obedient to that, and you pray for that. Praying in always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul says, would you pray for me that I would be able to preach the message that God has for me to preach. One of the greatest things you can do for Pastor Turner is pray for him as he gets into the pulpit. as he begins to preach what God has placed on his heart over the last week, over the last several weeks, and steps into this sacred desk. Pray for him. Pray that he would have utterance, that he would be able to speak not all his mind, but what God has placed in his heart. The Bible says that a fool speaks all of his mind. And so we want to make sure that he is preaching what God wants him to preach to us, then pray that he will. Pray that he would have that ability. And lastly, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-2, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." It says, not every person appreciates what we're doing. Pray that God's word would continue to go forth, that it would have free course. The church is God's precious gift to us. It was purchased by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight, is the church precious to you? Is the church precious to you? Do you believe that God has ordained the church to accomplish his work in us? That cleansing, that sanctifying of our lives, the cleansing through his word. You trust the ability of God to place his leader in the church that we are in. Don't ever doubt the mighty working hand of our God. It's amazing when God brings a message tonight. Pastor texted me during the service earlier and mentioned how he was watching Temple Baptist service tonight, and it was called, I think, Pray or Faint. And he said just the timing of it was incredible about what they went through today. You know, God does that. God will bring a verse into your mind at just the right time, into your heart. That in RU, we call it a whammy moment, where God gives you something in the morning, and later in the day, God brings the reason why you needed that verse. That's God working. And I believe that's the hand of God that gets in this pulpit every time if we will listen to it, if we will yield to it. Maintain a good relationship with your church, and especially with your pastor. Your relationship with the pastor will affect your reception of the truth of the Word of God. Yield to God and those He places as spiritual leaders in your life. I wonder tonight, are we yielding to the pastor that God has given to us? I know we've prayed much for their physical well-being over these last several days. But you know what? Continue to pray that God would use him in this place, in this church, wherever our church may be, God would continue to enable him to preach the word, as this church is part of that church that is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. Think about our theme this year, the truth. Have we received it? Are we receiving it? As we're receiving it, we are to be delivering it.